time?
Sunday.
What day?
Sunday.
It's time to play the game.
Get ready for a game day edition of CBJ and 30.
Game on!
Yeah, game on!
Hear from the players and coaches as the Blue Jackets get set to hit the ice. Join the discussion on Twitter by using the hashtag CBJ and 30. Here's your host, Bob McGilligan.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't it just like a friend of mine to hit me from behind? Guess I'm gone to Carolina in my mind.
The soft and soothing sounds of James Taylor, Going to Carolina in My Mind.
Everything it will not be later on tonight when the Blue Jackets take on the Carolina Hurricanes here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome to another game day edition of CBJ and 30. I'm your host, Bob McElligott. Well, the Blue Jackets had a day yesterday without a game, but it was not a day without work. It was not a day that they decided to not try to fix some of the things that ail them. And of course, the biggest problem the Blue Jackets have right now is they're just not scoring goals. They come into tonight's game after a 3-1 win at home over the Buffalo Sabres on Tuesday night, a game where the Blue Jackets got two goals in a 3-minute and 1-second span in the first period, and then went cold and didn't get another goal until Brandon Saad put in an empty netter in the third period. So that was it. That's all of the scoring the Blue Jackets had in that game. And again, what has been the trend recently is Sergei Bobrovsky stops almost everything he sees, and the Blue Jackets scored just enough to get a victory. They went back to that same formula the other night. I don't know if that formula is going to work for much longer. I don't think it's going to work tonight because I believe Jonas Korpisalo is going to be making the start. So there is no Bobrovsky to lean on tonight. And the Blue Jackets are going to have to pick up their scoring, and they're going to have to do it against a very young, fast, talented team. And I'll talk more about the Carolina Hurricanes in just a little bit. But right now, this is about the Blue Jackets and trying to fix the things that are wrong with their game. The scoring is one. The other thing is the power play that continues to be a major problem. Yesterday, when Jody Shelley and I got together on the inside edge, we talked about the power play. Whereas, remember, early in the year, the power play was number one for a long, long time. And the penalty kill was at number 18 or 19 at the time. Well, the penalty kill has climbed up into the top 10, whereas the power play has now gone the other direction. And you're going to need good penalty killing in the playoffs. Don't get me wrong. That's going to be a very important aspect of the way the Blue Jackets play, and that's good. They need to keep that up. They need to keep penalty killing like they are, but they've got to get the power play going because you might only get one or two chances at most in a game in the playoffs, and you have to be able to take advantage of those chances should they come your way. So the power play's got to get going, and when Jody and I talked last night, I talked about the entry to the zone. I think that's really where it's been shut off. The Blue Jackets aren't able to get into the zone and get set up like they were earlier in the season. Early in the year, it was no problem for them whatsoever. They would just have Werenski come out from behind the net. He would have Wennberg and Atkinson trail him. He'd get up close to the red line, throw one back. One of those two guys would come through the neutral zone with speed, maybe pass to the other one, but it eventually went to Wennberg, who dropped it off on the left-wing side for Nick Foligno, who then would just send it off the boards back to the left point, and Werenski could drag it to the middle, and they could set things up from there. It doesn't work like that anymore, and the Blue Jackets are having a problem entering the zone and just getting set up to start with. And that's one of the things that I talk about with Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella in our exclusive one-on-one game day interview.
You talk going into the Buffalo game about the offense. You weren't going to panic. Again, you get three goals, and there was a span there in the first period. You get the two goals pretty quickly. Did you think it might be opening back up when you saw that?
No, I you knew Buffalo was going to play. They played very well. We had a really good first period. I thought our second period, it was a little bit of a struggle. Didn't generate a whole much. They did. Third period, to me, it was a deceiving game. We had some chances. They had a couple of chances along the way. My biggest thought is I just want to see some flow in our power play. I want our guys to feel good about themselves, that something happened good for them on the power play. And I think that'll get through their hands, it'll get through their head, and it'll get to our five-on-five play.
And you changed it yesterday, and you used some different things. I thought Buffalo really attacked you pretty well, yeah. Especially Marcus Foligno with his forecheck. Yeah. Really put the pressure on those defensemen coming from behind the net, didn't
they? Yeah, it's one of the things that I think is really coupled with not generating much in the offensive zone on a power play are our entries. You look at the first half of the year, our entries to the first half of the year, we were in there without expending a lot of energy. When you have to keep on going down the ice to get the puck and try to enter, by the time you get in the end zone, there's not much there. And, so we got some things to work on, but we have faith in the team, and we'll keep on banging away at it and see if we can get some consistency.
Let's talk about the defense, because as the offense struggles, it seems like the defense gets better and better. Do you agree?
Yeah, we've been inconsistent. I thought we played better last night. Shots were very misleading. They had a lot of shots from the outside. I mean, they outshot us in the first period, but I think we outchanced them 6-2 in that period. I thought we did a really good job in front of the net limiting rebounds. I wouldn't say it's dead on. I don't think it ever is, but I still like to see some more consistency there also.
Kyle Quincy picks up his first goal as a Blue Jacket. That comes off having an assist the other day. And I know you want him to be a defensive guy. That's what he is first. But isn't it nice when those guys chip in with points?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a, you know, it's a big goal in the game to get us going. And I think he can do both. I think he's willing. I think he's aggressive. He's done a really good job in the positioning of his position. We always tell our D, it's responsibility to you not only play defense, but to bring some offense here too, no matter what you are. So that's a good thing for him. New team, score a goal, I think that's really good.
Now you've had a couple of guys that have been sitting, Marcus Nudivaara, Lauri Korpikoski, coming up on a back-to-back. Do you look to work either of those guys in?
Yeah, Nudie will get in there. I'm not sure on Corpy. I'm not sure. But Nudie and Harry have been kind of moving around together, taking, you know, playing some games and not – Nudie definitely will. We'll see where it goes as far as the forwards are concerned.
This Carolina team has been close to the playoffs, left for dead. Close to the playoffs, left for dead. That's been them the entire year. Yeah. They're back to close to the playoffs. They're a team you've had trouble with in the past. What do you like about their group when you look at them?
They have speed right on through the lineup and very aggressive. Their defense is up the ice. They're well coached. I think they're in the situation where it's kind of fun to play where they're at right now because they really have nothing to lose because a lot of people didn't think they were going to get in. And maybe they even thought it at a point in time. Now they've went on this tremendous run. We've been in that situation. When you go on a run, you feel good about yourself and you just let yourself play. That's where they're at right now. It's going to be a very dangerous team when we play them.
Eddie Lack got hurt the other night when he played for them, and I know you've had him before, and he's a good goalie. He kind of got called out a couple of weeks ago and has been a totally different guy since then.
Yeah. I'm not sure who we'll get in net. I know Eddie got run over the other night. Coaches coach. Sometimes people get down on coaches when they're just honest about players' play. I don't know why we can't do that. I mean, it's not in their contract in small print. We can't coach you or say anything about you. Billy went on a tangent. It's after a game. Sometimes the emotion is there, and he did. He said he regretted the level of intensity. That's human nature. That's caring. So I don't begrudge him anything. And Eddie's a good man. I had Eddie in Vancouver. He accepted the challenge. It's nice to see an athlete accept the challenge and has played much better since.
Maybe Bill Peters was listening to you because you said months ago, if the goalie's not playing well, we should be allowed to talk about it.
I've never understood that. I mean, I've gotten a lot of crap in my career where I was the goalie hater because I just say, well, maybe he should have stopped a couple there. But I don't know. I don't know where you guys get your rules as far as who you're supposed to talk about and who you're not.
I have no rules. I just, whatever you say is good for me. One last thing is you've talked about your team kind of, you know, you've clinched and now you're trying to get to the playoffs and the offense stagnant a little bit right now. When you look at this next stretch of games, are you hoping maybe there'll be enough juice and energy to kind of shock your team back to life?
Yeah. These are going to be some really good teams we're playing. Our team has always accepted that challenge. It's perfect timing for us, I think, to kind of wake us up a little bit here. I'm not sure where the results go. I just want to see us get better and try to be the best we can be in this type of situation as we enter playoffs.
All right, Torts, thanks. Remember, no rules interviews, always.
Okay, thanks. Bobby, thank you.
That's Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella in the latest of our no rules interviews. We were talking about Eddie Lack, goaltender for the Carolina Hurricanes, and as Torch said, he had Eddie when he was with the Vancouver Canucks. Eddie Lack got hurt the other night at the end of the game against the Detroit Red Wings, where he got piled upon, and he hurt his neck, and they actually had to take him out on a stretcher at the end of the game after the final horn had sounded. And the Detroit Red Wings, they stayed on the ice and just kind of everybody gathered around. Both teams gathered around the goal to make sure Eddie Lack was okay until he was taken off the ice on a stretcher. So Eddie Lack is not going to play tonight. That should be a foregone conclusion for you. But Eddie Lack has been a very important part of the Carolina Hurricanes. When Torts and I were talking about Bill Peters, the head coach of the Hurricanes, a couple of weeks ago, he just totally destroyed Eddie Lack. And I mean, he said some really harsh things about him. He just talked about how he wasn't good enough. He said, when you look at, I think it was save percentage. He goes, when you look at save percentage, I know who's number 60. So you know what that means? There are 30 teams in the league. Each team has two goaltenders. Number 60 is real bad. So he gave it to him. And Eddie Lack responded, along with his teammates, along with the other goaltender, the starter, Cam Ward. And they have been terrific as of late. So the Blue Jackets are going to have their work cut out for them tonight here in Carolina. But the Carolina Hurricanes are going to have their work cut out for them, too, because of the way the Blue Jackets play the game defensively. And we can talk about their team defense. We can talk about their defensive pairings. But let me get down to one half of one pair and talk about Jack Johnson, the heavy game that he plays. I think Jack Johnson has been one of the most steady, solid defenders on this team. The tandem of him and David Savard is really hard to beat. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I would match those two guys up against anybody in the NHL right now when you're talking about trying to shut down another team's offense. So they will be tested tonight. But I had a chance to catch up with Jack Johnson and talk with him about what's going on with the Blue Jackets right now and how they continue to have the success that they're having.
Jack, this team, you guys are finding ways to win games, and you're doing it primarily by defense. And just tell me about what's going on back there, not just between you and David Savard, but as a group. You guys look like you're pretty locked in right now.
Yeah, I think that we're playing pretty well defensively. You know, because we're winning games by defense because we're spending a lot of time in our own zone, which isn't necessarily a good thing. But we're going to have to win games in the playoffs by playing sound defensively. So we're getting a lot of work in on it right now.
Sergei Bobrovsky has obviously been the engine, especially these last couple of games. And there seems like there's a really good synergy between him and you guys that are playing right in front of him. How much communication does it take to make it look as seamless as it has?
Well, there's a fair amount of communication. Really, a lot of it happens when he gets the puck. You know, we're trying to tell him where we want him to put it, and, or if we want him to go get it. That's really where most of the communication goes on. But yeah, like you said, being the engine, you know, every top team in this league has a great goaltender, and the truth is, it doesn't matter how good of a team you have up front. If you don't get great goaltending, you're not going to win.
When you go back to the Buffalo game, that was really a prime example. No matter how many rebounds he let get out away from him, 3 feet, 4 feet, doesn't matter. Either David Savard was there, you were there, Kyle Quincy was there. It seems like you guys are really in tune to where that puck might come off his body and taking away the danger before the opposition can get to the rebound.
Well, I don't think we know where it's coming off. I think it's just a matter of just trying to be aware of who's around you and what's around you. You know, rebounds are tricky, and you know, usually the other team doesn't exactly know where they're coming off either. But it's part of being playing defense is just being aware of who's around you and what's around you, and trying to know where the puck is.
How does it change when Jonas Korpisalo plays a game? And I know he's very good, and he's done a nice job for you guys. But there's got to be just a little bit of difference between him and Sergei.
Well, I mean, age, a lot of games, a lot of experience. Yeah, is really the biggest difference. But in terms of like how we play as a group in front of them, it doesn't change anything. You know, how we approach the game or what we do out there.
Big stretch coming up for you guys. How much are you embracing the challenge of what you're going to face here in the next couple of games? I know you like to go one game at a time, but let's be honest, with the points that you're looking to get and the situation you want to be in, these next couple of games are big.
Yeah, we're playing some really good teams here coming up, and it'll be fun. You know, going on the road in some of these buildings to play some of the top teams, it's exciting, it's fun, and hockey, you know, in springtime is the best.
All right, Jack, thank you very much. Good luck.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That is Blue Jackets defenseman Jack Johnson. And I think for the first time, maybe all year, I think it's okay to go off of the day-by-day scenario. It's not okay for Torts. John Tortorella is never going to do it, and I have no problem with that. Well, he did kind of do it with me earlier, didn't he? I talked about the games that are coming up, and he did peek a little bit into the future. And I think that that's why it's acceptable now, is because of the teams that are coming after this one today. Now, don't overlook this one today. This team today, 4 points out of a playoff spot, they think they can get in. They have teams they have to jump over to get in, but they think they can get in. So this is a dangerous game tonight. But when you get past today and you look at tomorrow, and you are in Chicago to play against the Blackhawks, who just put a whooping on Pittsburgh last night, and then you come home and you play against Washington, your final head-to-head with them on Sunday, and then you go into Pittsburgh on Tuesday for your final head-to-head with them, those games are exciting. They are going to be exciting, I should say. They have the potential to be exciting. They have the potential to be exhilarating, thrilling, disappointing, depressing. You can go the whole spectrum on those games, what could happen. So they are going to be some very fun games to play. And I'm glad the guys are talking about it a little bit, because it's just common sense. You can go day by day. You've got to be ready for the Carolina Hurricanes today. I get it. Okay, we're all fine with that. But you have to be excited. As a team going to the playoffs, when you're going to get to play the three best teams in the league besides yourself, the other three teams that are right there with you, neck and neck, you want to match up, you want to see how you fare against that kind of competition, you're going to get that chance over the course of the next three games. Three games in, what, 5 days? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, yeah. 3 games in 5 days. You will really find out what you're made of. But then you have this game tonight, and I'm telling you, don't jump too quickly to tomorrow. Keep the focus on tonight. Brandon Dubinsky has kept his focus through different line mates. He's had Josh Anderson join his line in place of Cam Atkinson. Then at the end of the last game, Dubinsky was playing with Brandon Saad, and Sam Gagner moved to the wing on his line. And you know, he's looking for more consistency out of his own game, for sure. But this is a guy that's been to the playoffs before, and here and with the New York Rangers, with the very good New York Rangers teams too. And he knows what it's going to take from him, from his teammates, to get this done the way they want to get it done. And talking with him, he was asked how much he and his teammates talk about the things they want to get done, how much they talk about the situation that they're in right now.
I don't think we're saying much. Obviously, we're going to the games talking about the importance of getting points and getting where we want to get to. And, you know, I think the older guys are doing a good job of just trying to show up every night and lead by example, and the young guys will fall.
Kind of interesting, early in the year, people said that the young guys were pushing the old guys, and I guess that's a good mix. It's going back and forth a little bit.
Yeah, it's good. We've had a good mix in here all year long. It's been fun to come to the rink every day. And, yeah, it works both ways. I think the older guys are pulling the young guys along when they need it, and when the older guys need a push, the young guys are there to give them a push. So it's been definitely a good mix for us.
How much are you guys looking towards the future and saying, okay, we have 2 weeks to kind of figure a few things out versus looking to each game and saying, this game could help us and elevate our chances come playoff time, depending on how many points we get in the situation that arises?
Yeah, I think we're doing a little bit of both. Obviously, we talk about kind of the end game, and we want to be at a certain level when we get to the playoffs, but then you got to take a step back and look at the process, and that is the games and the one game at a time that we've talked about all season. You know, I will say we kind of look at this right now, the next few games that we have, as a good stretch against teams that are right there fighting for what we want, home ice advantage, you know, top of the league, that sort of thing. So, you know, we could put it in a little bit of a segment here and say we need to play the right way here for at least the next 4 games, and then after that it'll focus on what we got. But just being ready to play tomorrow night against a good team that hasn't lost, I don't think, in regulation in a while, and especially has a really good home record, it's going to be a tough challenge. So we got to be ready for that game. We don't want to look beyond it, but it's going to be fun because we got some big challenges ahead and against teams that are right there in the thick of it that you know, are fighting for a league title or tomorrow night fighting for the playoffs. So these are good types of games for us to get into.
Doobie, this Carolina team, what makes them so dangerous?
Yeah, I mean, they I mean, they defend well, first of all. You know, I just, you think about their penalty kill, it's like the way that it's just swarmed us, especially early on in the season when our power play was just firing. Every time we went into their building or played against them, it seemed like they just stuffed us right at the blue line. So they defend well, and then also they're opportunistic. I mean, they got some scores. They got some young guys that can make plays, a couple of young Swedish guys, and you got obviously Jordan Stahl, who's a beast out there, a big guy, big body, plays the game the right way. So yeah, they got a lot of weapons. I think they're an underrated team, and when you put Cam Ward in there, who's been in this league for so long and won a cup, a Conn Smythe Trophy, he's a guy that can keep them in every game. So I think those things all add up to making them what they are right now.
That is a great breakdown of the Carolina Hurricanes by Brandon Dubinsky. He is spot on with his analysis. And before I get into the specifics on the Carolina Hurricanes, let's check the playoff picture in the NHL. Of course, in the Metropolitan Division, you've got Washington, Columbus, and Pittsburgh sitting 1, 2, and 3. Both the Capitals and the Penguins played last night. The Capitals were a winner in Colorado, so they now have 110 points. That is 5 better than the Blue Jackets with 105. And Pittsburgh, in their loss last night to the Chicago Blackhawks, they stay with 103 points. In the Atlantic Division, you've got Montreal on top with 95 points. Ottawa is second with 91. And then Toronto is in third place right now with 87 points. And then we go to the wild card race. And the New York Rangers, they've locked up a playoff spot. No team in the Atlantic Division, by the way, has officially locked up a playoff spot as of yet. Whereas the top four teams in the Metropolitan Division have all done just that. The Rangers in the first wild card spot, they've got 97 points. Boston is in the second spot right now. They have 86 points. Now, Boston is only one behind Toronto for third place, and they're sitting 3 ahead of the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're sitting 4 points ahead of the New York Islanders and 4 points ahead of the Carolina Hurricanes. Those are the only teams that are still left in the race. Now, how many times have I said that? And I said, I'm not even counting this team or this team. And I wasn't counting Carolina for a long time. But Carolina has now won 8 times in their last 12 games. And the games that they haven't won, they've lost in overtime or a shootout. They are 8-0-4 in their last 12 games. So that's what has propelled them back into the playoff talk. And they've been a great team at home all year. They have been very hard to beat here in Raleigh. And the Blue Jackets, they've had problems with them here too. So they know what it's all about, and they know how tough this is going to be. This team is led by Jordan Stahl. I mean, he is the guy that really drives the bus. He's got 43 points. He doesn't have the most points on the team, but he is that veteran, playoff-tested guy that just has them going in the right direction. And he's playing with a couple of young guys right now. Elias Lindholm, who's got 43 points on the year, 11 goals for him. And then you've got Sebastian Aho, who has put up 23 goals, part of his 47 points so far this season for the Carolina Hurricanes. So these guys are formidable. They're good. They're fast. You've got the two young guys. They're fast. They're talented. And, of course, Jeff Skinner is always around the puck, or he's always in an area where the puck is going to wind up, and that's what makes him so dangerous. He's very much like Cam Atkinson in that regard. But Jeff Skinner, he'll be out there. You'll see him come flying by, and then he'll kind of disappear off your radar, and then he pops right back up at the time that the puck is on his stick, and he's putting it behind your goaltender. So very, very dangerous. The Blue Jackets have to keep both eyes out for him. When you get to their defense, they like their defense. They have some very good young defensemen, and they like the way that they play. Jacob Slavin is one of the guys they really like. He's got 33 points this year, 28 through assists. And then you've got the veteran all-star Justin Falk back there, and he's got 35 points. He scored 16 goals as a defenseman. He's got that big, heavy shot, and he'll be taking it tonight for sure. So the Blue Jackets have got to be ready for that. And Cam Ward is going to make the start. It'll be his 58th appearance of the year. He's 25-20 on the season. His goals against is 2.69, and his save percentage is .905. So he's a former – well, you heard Doobie just say it. He's a Stanley Cup champion. He's a Conn Smythe winner. He is a very good goaltender, and I just find it funny. Every time we've played this team this year and I've seen Cam Ward start – and he started all of them, I think back to the last couple of years where they kept talking about trading Cam Ward. Got to get rid of Cam Ward. Got to get that salary off of our cap. That was talked about for a long time here, and they never did it. They were never able to pull the trigger, or they didn't, find anything that fit, whatever the case. Boy, are they glad they didn't trade him, I'm sure, because he's having a very good season. Yes, the record, only 5 wins more than losses, but that goes against, he's got it under 3. He can steal a game for you any single night, and the Blue Jackets have to hope that he's not stealing any games tonight for the Carolina Hurricanes. So this one's going to be big, and again, it is just it's like the opening act, this game, because then it's on to Chicago, home against Washington, on to Pittsburgh. That's what's coming next. But today is today. The Carolina Hurricanes are the object of the day that the Blue Jackets have to find a way to eliminate and get by so that they can move on to tomorrow. So very challenging game here tonight against a good, young, fast team that has probably more confidence right now than they've had all year long with the way they've been playing over the course of the last 12 games. So they're going to be ready, and the Blue Jackets will have to match them tonight. 7 o'clock face-off from PNC Arena here in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'll be on the air starting at 6:45 with pregame coverage on the Blue Jackets Radio Network, which includes the flagship station, 97.1 The Fan in Columbus. You can also get the game through the NHL app. You can find it on the TuneIn app. The Blue Jackets have a channel there, and you can get it at BlueJackets.com. Blue Jackets and the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. Until then, I'm Bob McElligott, on my way to grab some Carolina barbecue. So long.